Recently, TV station KSAT 12 in San Antonio put out a story that accuses Bexar County Precinct 2 Constable Michelle Barrientos Vela of possibly yet another civil rights violation. We sat down with Constable Vela and talked to her about the story.
Here we are again. Another story has come out on TV. The Defenders.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I saw it and I thought to myself, oh my God, this is just me thinking to myself personally. I thought to myself, oh my God, what a hack job. I thought they're trying to do a hack job on the constable. And as a former constable who kind of went through some of the similar situation that you're going to, I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh my God, I cannot believe, you know, how they're attempting to make the constable look in this story, mm-hmm. and yet it doesn't ring true to me. It doesn't ring right. And so from the beginning, it sounds like that this guy,
Leonicio,
that you guys arrested, had he already filed this lawsuit against you?
Yes, he had already filed a lawsuit against me.
Okay.
For his accusations.
Was he already your opponent in this next election? I mean,
It's not official right now,
right.
Because he hasn't officially announced, nor have I officially announced.
Because they made it seem like, okay, he's going to be your opponent in the next election, so
exactly.
Here you are already going after him, you know,
exactly,
personally.
For
right,
reasons.
Right, right.
Correct.
But let's get back to why he was arrested. What was the actual charge? What were the findings that led up to him being arrested?
Sure. It's actually consisting of a pattern off of another case. And so he was arrested for aggravated perjury, lying on a legal document. And, you know,
something that happened in this office?
Correct. That okay. He alleges happens in this office.
Didn't you go out of your way to allow another agency to investigate that?
I did. Yes, sir. You know, if we go back in time, you know, from the beginning of 2017, there's a time pattern. So at the end of the day, as an elected official with my team, I have to answer to my community. And so when I do that, I would hope my team has the integrity like I do to go forward and try to do the best abilities we can do on the job. He was eventually found to falsify government documents.
And this was by an outside agency?
By an outside agency. I came across it. I noticed several document hours. And so I thought, to be non-biased and to be fair, that my office would not do the investigation.
But this is what I don't understand, and maybe you can explain to me. If you went out of your way to get another agency to investigate that, then why wouldn't you go out of your way to get another department to file the charges and arrest him?
Exactly. What we've come across now recently is that we don't have the cooperation here within Bexar County.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a decision that I had to make based on what's presented before me.
Right.
Now, had I had a fair treatment within the Bexar County justice system, then yes, I would reach out again here locally. But right now, we don't have that choice. And so it's unfortunate because, in a sense, it does hurt.
But don't you think it was just kind of bad timing to... I mean, here's this guy. He's filed a suit against you. He possibly is going to be your opponent in the next race.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are, even though you went out of your way to get another agency to you know, investigate, here you are still having to file the charges and arrest him yourself. At some point, you must have thought, okay, someone somewhere along the line is going to think that I'm going at him, after him, just because of the politics.
Sure, that's a lot. I have to sit back and I have to deal with, again, answering to the community. Did you think this out, Constable? Did you know the repercussions that are going to come afterwards? And yes, I did. Going back and going forth with our, you know, district attorney's office and going and getting advice from them, we got to the point where there was no help at all from the Bexar County district attorneys. Due to the fact that I had already dropped a case over there on Moreno and De La Serta, it had been sitting there for several months, several weeks. They had informed me that they were going to go ahead and pursue Ford to present before the grand jury. All they needed was an email verifying I was okay with that, and that's how we left off. nothing proceeded forward. So then
the district attorney's office had already told you that they were going to present that to the grand jury.
Correct.
And which is what they should have done.
Yes.
And all they needed was an email from you saying that that would be okay.
Yes.
And then, but then it just kind of sat there.
It just sat there.
It never got presented to the grand
exactly.
jury. And then we got a new district attorney.
But with the current district attorney, the charges were left with him.
Right.
And so, going forward and looking at that and at that last conversation, we're the understanding.
But let me ask you this. All that aside, which is, I mean, I can kind of understand. I can kind of understand how that looks kind of, is kind of sketchy. But even with that, all the criteria for the charges to go forward was there, right? I mean, the proof was presented to you from this outside agency, which
Correct.
Was a state agency,
Correct.
Saying, yes, we found that he falsified these documents,
Correct.
Which is a violation of the law.
Correct.
Therefore, you should file charges.
Correct.
That's correct. That's
yes.
the bottom line, right?
That is correct.
I mean, whether it's going to appear to someone else that it's going to look like it's a political thing
Correct.
or that you're going after him because he's suing you, still, that doesn't clear him in that particular incident. Is that correct?
Well, he definitely falsified the government documents in that
right.
particular event. Did he lie? Yes, that was also in there too. However, we're looking also.
I mean,
at the
yeah, and even
one.
And even though he hasn't been found guilty in a court of law, still the criteria for bringing that charge is there.
Yes, sir, it is there.
So you did nothing wrong.
No, I did nothing wrong.
You
with
brought that.
That
charge, and then the district attorney basically sat there and he goes, "Well, wait a minute, this guy, you know, he's filed a lawsuit against her."
Well, but there's a second charge with that. So
okay.
that's original charge uh-huh. that he sat on. Then he continued that pattern. And so he then resubmitted in another form, which he also lied on this form, which is the aggravated perjury.
So this was a second case,
this
a secondary
case.
Case
that
yeah.
he continued to do.
Okay.
So he's been already found to have done these actions. And the DA said...
Which are both considered criminal actions.
They are criminal actions.
Yeah.
So he's already been found to have done this. They have been sitting at the DA's office for several months. And then he's going forward and he's continuing this pattern because nothing has been done yet. So in a sense, I feel personally.
So let me ask you this. Was the KSAT story right? Did the district attorney drop the charges? Or are they just sitting there waiting to be presented to
the... second charges that were presented, which is aggravated, he was arrested by this agency and booked. And so those charges are the ones based on what I've seen him come out on KSAT was he believed. That's a strong statement.
Who believed?
This is the Joe Gonzalez district
right,
attorney.
Right, the district attorney.
Believed.
He believed what?
He believed that nothing occurred. Right. And so what? I have a problem with that statement because we have to go based on law and
well, that's,
facts.
I, see, I didn't hear the same
law
thing.
Law and facts.
I heard him say that that based on the fact that he had filed a suit against you and that the timing wasn't
mm-hmm.
right, blah, blah,
yes.
blah, yada, yada, yada. But that's his personal opinion.
Correct.
That's
we're
not law.
Exactly.
That is not law.
Exactly.
And technically, as a district attorney, his personal opinion shouldn't intervene into the law.
That's
so
what
his only responsibility was to present that. If the criminal components of that charge were there,
yes.
his only responsibility as district attorney is to present that to the grand jury and then let it go forward and let them decide or let a regular
right.
jury decide.
Yes, sir, you're absolutely right.
And that hasn't happened.
That did not happen. He let him... He dismissed everything and let him
right.
walk out the door the same day.
Yeah. Well, until now. Because, I mean, you still have the right to bring those charges. It's not like he's been cleared.
Well, from my understanding right now from district attorneys, he's cleared of everything right now as far as that
yeah,
second charge.
But that's not the case. They just failed to present that to the grand jury.
Well, he dismissed everything from my understanding completely.
How can you dismiss something that's
I agree with you.
They're not the jury. They're
I
not.
Agree with
that's
you.
Not
yes,
due
sir.
Process.
I agree with you.
How does that work?
That's my question.
You know,
to
so
DAs.
How does a DA? How, you know, it was so funny when the whole DA race came along. I thought to myself, you know, I saw them going at each other.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the political ads and everything. I saw them. I heard them personally talking about each other, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, it's not the choice of who is the better guy. It's we have a choice of who is the better of both evils. You know,
sometimes.
And that's a sad state of affair for this county.
I agree.
You know,
yes, sir.
And that hopefully will change at some
right.
point.
Right. And you know, the thing that a lot of people don't see is that That warrant was signed by a judge who saw some of the evidence already there. Otherwise, he would have not signed it.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's what I was going to say. Yes. If the criteria for the charges wasn't there, a judge wouldn't have signed the warrant.
No, he would not have. And so we
So even though it might have looked like, he had a lawsuit filed against you. Yes, he was going to become your opponent, whatever, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Still, that doesn't clear him of that criminal act.
Correct. That's correct.
So here we are now. Mm-hmm. You know, we have failed to provide due process in that criminal act here.
That is correct.
You haven't failed on your part, but you look like they're making you look like the bad guy.
Yes, sir.
For bringing those charges.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And
yes.
So now let's get back to this whole KSAT thing. In the story, it's so funny, it makes it sound like your guys intentionally delayed
Leonicio's
booking. It said that you were there 30 minutes prior to in the Sallyport, already ready to book him. You had pulled him out of the truck, put your equipment away. Somebody gets a phone call, yada, 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 yada. All of a sudden, they put him back in the truck, and they drive out of the Sallyport again, drive around downtown, like give some kind of goose chase,
correct.
You know, which mm-hmm. the guy from KSAT got in his car and drove around a couple of blocks, you know, showing you exactly, oh, here's the goose chase. They went there, and then they went there, and we turned here, and,
yes.
you know, and I thought, okay, that's kind of dramatic. Mm-hmm. But, and then I thought, okay, well, I have to ask the constable about that. And this is the funny part that I thought to begin with. First of all, every single day of the week, most agencies have perp walks.
That's correct.
Sometimes they delay those perp walks intentionally for hours waiting for the media to arrive. What's the problem with this?
Exactly.
You know, and then I thought this was funny. They present a copy of the Texas Code of Criminal Procedures.
Yes, sir.
Which nobody would have ever thought about looking into, except who uses the Code of Criminal Procedures the most in every county? The constable's office.
Correct.
So only a deputy constable would know what is in the Code of Criminal Procedures.
That is correct.
So I would think somewhere along the line, some deputy constable or former deputy constable or something gave this guy, this reporter, a copy of the Code of Criminal Procedures where it says that a department has to be expeditious, you know, and bringing a suspect to booking, you know, without any kind of delay. You know, and I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But my God, 20 to 30 minute delay. That, and it says
Leonicio
made a complaint with not only the Texas Rangers, but send also a copy to the Texas Attorney General's office because you, oh, and they called it, you allegedly violated his civil rights.
Yes, that's what they said.
You know, no, they didn't even say allegedly. They said another possible violation of civil rights. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, you're accusing the constable of a possible violation of this man's civil rights, yes. based on the fact that they delayed his booking by 10, 15, 30 minutes. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. The Texas Ranger probably saw that, probably thought, oh my God, are you serious here? Look, put that aside. I got real work to do. Mm-hmm. And the Attorney General, my God, they probably didn't even take a second look at it. Right. Because it's ridiculous. It's a little nitpicky thing that you're trying to get someone in yes. trouble for. Talk about accusing someone of coming after somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, here they're accusing you of arresting this man. Because it's a political thing.
That's it, yes.
Well, what do you think this whole KSAT story is? It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's a political thing. Mm-hmm. They're coming after you on a little nitpicky thing, trying to make a mountain out of a molehill based on something that's political. It has absolutely no real value. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. Any educated person out there, any normal, prudent person out there that's watching TV that has any kind of knowledge at all is going to say, oh, my God, what a hack job. You know, that's the way I looked at it.
Well, going back to that day, I briefly spoke with my officers. Right now we have an internal, what I call internal investigation, in-house investigation, to go back and look at that. And so they brought me a few insights to what's occurring, although I won't have the final report till the next few days. But when we looked at the time that KSAT aired, saying the deputies took 30 minutes or so,
Yeah, well, right. It said you were in the Sally Port 30 right. minutes prior to that, right. and then right. pulled him out. Somebody got a phone call.
Exactly.
I guess they're trying to make it seem like you called somebody and said, hey, pull him out because we got to wait
exactly.
for the media or something.
Yes.
Did you make that phone call?
No, I did not
okay.
make that phone
okay.
call. On that day, we get a phone call. I get a phone call on my personal cell phone from a Deputy Garcia from the Bexar County Sheriff's Office. He says, Constable, we've changed some stuff around. I said, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, we just got word that you guys are bringing someone down here. Or he got that word from, I don't know. I said, okay. I said, so what's the problem? He goes, we have new procedures. The sheriff, he wants you to bring the individual over into the front door instead of through where you go in and you park and you get him off the
instead
park.
Of the Sally Port.
Exactly.
Okay.
He goes, so we don't do that. He goes, I need you to do this. I said, I tell you what, I'm going to take myself out of this phone call. I said, and I'm going to hand it over to one of my admin and he will deal with you. And he can call you back on that, okay? And so he goes, okay. So the call is now given over to Captain Garcia. Captain Garcia, call down there and see what's going on because now they're wanting the officers to move this individual through another area, and that's not usual.
So that must
and
have
he hasn't been given official notice.
So that must have been the phone call that the deputies got when they were in the Sally Port, right?
Probably,
yeah.
Yes. So then, from my understanding, Captain Garcia calls him. Again, take him out of this area. Bring him around over here because this is how we set up for the media.
So basically what you're saying, let me make sure that I understand. Your guys are in the Sally Port with
Leonicio. Uh-huh.
They're going to take him in for booking. This is when you get the phone call on your personal phone call from this deputy at the sheriff's office saying, hey, the sheriff has kind of changed things around, mm-hmm. and now you have to bring him around to the front door.
Correct.
So you say, okay, I'm going to hand this over to my admin guy, mm-hmm. and then that must have been when he called the deputies who are already in the Sally
right.
Port.
He has to make contact
and
with them.
Said, hey, you guys are in the wrong place.
Right.
Apparently they've changed the rules. You got to take him out and bring him back around to the front. And that's when they put him back in the car and took him around.
Right.
Drove. So what was the deal with, because again, the officer that was driving wasn't really familiar with downtown.
Right.
And he.
But he also tells me, hey, Constable, he goes, I'm going to tell you, I did stop my car at a moment, so that shows. I said, okay, what did you do while you stopped your car? He goes, well, when I was in the Sally Port, he goes, we, you know, put our weapons, he goes, the normal stuff, you got to secure the weapons. I said, okay, fine. He goes, well, when we get to, you know, get the call to move around, he goes, we jump in the car.
Without weapons.
Yeah, he goes, and he pulls out. He goes, and he starts taking off. He goes, and then I realize, oh, man, like, our weapons are back there.
Right.
So he tells his partner, hey, I got to stop for a minute. We got to get the weapons because if something happens, we have a prisoner.
Absolutely.
How are we going to protect everybody
Absolutely.
Here? So he stops the vehicle. He goes, maybe roughly 40 seconds, give or take, 45. He goes, I get off, get my weapons, boom, we get in the car. That's the only time that you'll see the car stop. He goes, now, he goes, but you do see us in Sally Park. We do move out. We do go to where they told us to take him. He goes, we're only doing what we were told to do. And from our understanding, it was done by the sheriff's office.
Right.
I said, okay, that's fine. That's understandable. And so there was another comment somewhere made about the booking time. Well, there is no exact booking time once the officers go in there. You know, we have to look at, you know, how many individuals ahead are being booked. You know, are the guys busy, or is the officer going to sit down and do his report? There's so many factors that go on in there that we don't give our officers a time frame that get to book and get out in 5 minutes. That's not the case here. And so that's another thing that, you know, the community members aren't aware of our booking process, part two. But going back to the original, we were only doing what the sheriff
right.
office asked us to
right.
do that day. Do I feel now looking back and looking at the media and looking at the video?
But had you all notified the media that this guy was going to be arrested? Or
we do as any other law enforcement.
With any.
Right,
yeah.
right. We give the notification
right.
out. And so that way.
But you didn't specifically order your deputies to drive around and waste time waiting for the media to get there.
No, we never did that.
And you're not aware that any of your subordinates, any of the people under you, your chief or anybody, they ordered them to wait because of the media.
I'm not aware of any of that at all.
Yeah.
But I am still waiting because I want it to be fair and have my...
You still have an in-house investigation going on to find out exactly what took place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just in case there are some factors that they didn't present to me, and that way we're able to deal with that. But from what I'm being told right now is that no, Constable, 9 minutes, they were in a Sally Park, they were asked to come out because you got the phone call and then you switched it over to an admin guy and he took that call. And so, you know, in the past few days, Captain Garcia from here, from this agency, reached out to Deputy Garcia at the sheriff's office. And he goes into detail about, yeah, I remember that day clearly. He goes, we're the ones that called you guys. told you guys to move over. And he goes through the process over the phone with us.
So basically, you have that information,
which proves that
it had nothing to do with you instigating that whole little runaround.
Right.
It was information given to you from the sheriff's office.
Correct.
That you had to. And isn't it funny how the sheriff's office, the same people who gave you this information,
yes,
and made you move him around to the front, also provided the video for the media showing that it took you a while to get around there.
Exactly.
And in HD, in clear video, the guy points out.
That.
Yeah, and I'm going, well, wow.
And there's their statement.
Well, that was nice of the sheriff.
Right. Well, and they also say that, Constable, we didn't release our video and our patrol units and our, you know, body cameras. I don't know the exact statement, but the thing is that we've been going back and forth for months and years with the Bexar County Commissioners to get
body cameras.
And to get upgrades, because our system and our patrol units, they have failed. They don't operate anymore. And so that's been a safety issue that I brought before the commissioners. So when they reach out to me for video, whether it's another law enforcement or anyone, or whether it's the district attorneys, which they've been told in the past, our system's not working because we need those videos for cases that are being presented before the district attorney.
Right.
And so for him to have, or Mr. Dylan Collard to have made that statement, insinuating that I'm hiding something. No, matter of fact, I want cameras and I want upgrades,
right,
but I just don't get the funding from the Bexar County Commissioners.
Yep. So he's apparently going after the wrong person, huh?
Exactly. We need to ask that question to the Bexar County Commissioners.
Yeah.
Why are the constables not getting funding? Because it's transparency, it's safety for the community.
Well, maybe they haven't promised him a job. But when I saw this whole story, I thought, okay, it sure does sound like somebody somewhere has promised somebody at KSAT a job if they get this constable out of office. Because I'm thinking, I cannot believe how far out of the way they are going to make you seem the bad guy. Because and then even at the end of the video, and I was going to ask you about this, they go to the case, that DWI case. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where was it? In Leon Valley?
Yes,
yeah,
in Leon Valley,
where it says...
Wasn't a DWI case, but it was a major crash,
mm-hmm,
because there was an individual that had facial injuries. Now, my chief is the one who arrived on the scene. And so we were the first responding officers out there. I responded to help out.
But even though it was in Leon Valley, it's still in Bexar County.
It's Bexar County.
You know, and it's your jurisdiction.
Correct.
And
correct.
If you were the first ones there, basically you're the officers in control.
Exactly. And at no time did we ever do a cavity search.
Right.
The female was arrested.
Oh, did somebody say you did a cavity search?
We did. That was his headline.
Well, yeah. And you know what? And at the end, I also heard it where it said that the lady had filed, that they had a certified letter from the lady.
Yes,
you had drawn her blood without permission or something.
Exactly. And I had conversations with Chief Savaggio, and which he called
that the Leon Valley Police Department had confirmed it.
Right. Yes, yes. So what we did is I actually had an investigation conducted too.
And it's amazing that you're having to do so many investigations.
It was a mess, but bottom line is that I had received a call from Chief Savaggio, hey, you know what? We're going to reach out to her, because if you don't say that there was no smell of marijuana, because right now there's no reports at my office, because you're right, you are the first responding officer. But my officer's report, if you keep proceeding forward, is going to say that there was no marijuana odor emitting from the car. Oh, wait a minute. You can't tell an officer what to put in his or her report.
Exactly.
Period.
Nope.
And you were not at the scene to know, hear, smell, or know anything that's going on that's transpiring.
Yeah.
You have your video, great, that's one-sided. Unfortunately, you know the situation we're in. I'm fighting with the county for body cameras. But I can tell you, as the head of the agency and as a supervisor of this whole department, if I'm walking towards a vehicle 20 feet approximately away and I can smell a strong odor of marijuana emitting from that car,
then it's your responsibility to report that in your report.
Exactly. Yeah. That's going to draw some attention to me, and I'm going to ask, why is it not anyone investigating the smell? You know, that's one of the factors, because that could have been a factor that caused that incident.
Absolutely.
Now, was there marijuana found in the car? No. Was there residue? Yes. You know, in law enforcement, sometimes we come across different situations where perhaps there were some in there and now it's no longer in the vehicle.
Wow.
There's just all kinds of things that happen.
So it's amazing. So it's totally amazing. You know, you're a bad constable. You're taking money. You're taking money from people at parks for stuff that they've already paid for.
And, you know, and that's another incident that you brought up, the Parks and Recs. Let me go through that again because you see the sheriffs got involved. They placed themselves being inside the park taking reports. So I said, no problem. Never did I witness one of your officers or a patrol unit in full uniform. So I went ahead and requested the body cameras and the footage from the vehicle. Lo and behold, they don't exist.
Oh. Well, there you go.
You said that I squeezed money, so I want you to show me you were there because I know you have funding. You were approved thousands and thousands of dollars. You are being upgraded. Where are your body cameras? And nowhere in time have you ever said you have any issues with your body cameras when you go before the commissioners.
Right.
You just want something new. We went to go present our case about Leon Valley and that incident and our findings. We were told by the district attorney, oh, no, not Joe. We can't take that here. Our case for prosecution, I'm heading to you as a district attorney. Oh, no, not Joe. You're on a personal level with him? You need to put that outside the door right now. We're only upholding state law and what we're supposed to do as elected officials. And so my report, my whole investigation is still in my office right now because I don't have due process here in Bexar County.
That's amazing.
Wow.
This guy Leonicio really wants your job, Constable.
Yeah, you got everybody trying to push you out.
They are. They're trying to.
Well, you know, the only thing I can say is stand fast, you know, unless you've actually really violated the law and there's evidence and there's proof and, you know, then, you know, you're still sitting in the chair.
I am.
You're an elected official.
Right. With the respect of the community, of course.
Yeah. And with the support, with all your supporters.
Yes, sir, with all the support and documents, too. You know, I'm one of those that I have a document for every little thing, receipts, time frames, you know, reports, notes. I have to have all
that.
Well,
it seems like in this county you need to. You have to.
You have to. You have to be able to protect yourself. Yeah. If you don't believe in standing with a system that needs to be reformed, you're going to find yourself out of the system, left alone on the sidelines, trying to explain to the community the part that they don't see. You see that they see the part of the elections and the voting and the campaigning. But what they don't realize is that that individual that you're choosing because you want him or her to make some positive changes on your behalf has to go and open that door into the next room where all those existing career politicians sit at currently right now. And we have to go in there, and now we have to try to change that atmosphere, and that's almost impossible because there's so many of them that it's either you join us
and can
or
you imagine
you do not join
and can
us.
You imagine, Constable, this this is happening like on a large scale here we are in Bexar County. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine this is still the case in most counties throughout Texas because it's still the good old boy system. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and you make sure that you protect me and I'll protect you, and we'll all live happily ever after.
Correct.
But putting money in the bank.
That's right. But the ones that suffer is the community members.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad because they're the one who gave them the right to sit in that chair.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that they take that right and abuse it from our community members. It really is wrong.
I want to thank Constable Vella for sitting down with us yet again and clearing up yet another KSAT video. Thank you, and I guess we'll wait on the next one.